light can open your eyes. One book can open your world. Knowledge gives you power. Read and rise higher.
Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. A Man of Iron presents a vivid, fast-moving portrait of Grover Cleveland, the only American president to serve two non-consecutive terms, and a leader whose character often stood in defiance of his times. Troy Senek follows Cleveland from his bracing rise as a reformer in New York politics to the national arena, where he confronted the Gilded Age's fiercest fights over corruption, money, tariffs, labor unrest, and American power abroad. Senek's narrative pays close attention to the choices Cleveland made when principle collided with political convenience, revealing a figure who embraced constitutional restraint even when it cost him allies. Rather than a nostalgic gloss, the book offers a clear-eyed appraisal of a stubborn, duty-bound executive who prized the public trust. The result is a biography that reframes Cleveland as a consequential statesman whose steadiness, skepticism of overreach, and willingness to say no shaped the presidency and redirected the Democratic Party during an age of turmoil. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from Buffalo reformer to national standard bearer, Senek traces Cleveland's improbable ascent from a hardworking lawyer to sheriff, to mayor of Buffalo, and then to governor of New York, emphasizing the reputation for clean government that propelled each step. As mayor and governor, Cleveland wielded his veto to curb waste and cronyism, signaling a reform temperament that Washington could not ignore. The 1884 presidential race made his rectitude a central issue, pitting a plain-spoken reformer against the entrenched habits of Gilded Age patronage. Senek shows how Cleveland's personal controversies and machine resistance did not derail him because his public identity was firmly anchored in honesty and administrative rigor. The first term established a national figure committed to limited government and transparent stewardship. After losing in 1888 despite winning the popular vote, he returned in 1892, a rare comeback that underscored voter trust in his integrity. The through line in this rise, Senek argues, is not charisma but credibility, rooted in visible acts of independence and thrift. Secondly, a constitutional presidency and the courage to say no. Central to Senek's portrait is Cleveland's devotion to constitutional limits. He used the veto hundreds of times, often on private pension bills and spending measures he saw as unfounded or unfair, insisting that compassion required standards as well as sympathy. This was not reflexive obstruction, but a theory of executive duty. The president as guardian of the purse and the law, not the broker of favors. Senek explores how Cleveland fortified civil service reform by insulating federal jobs from partisan pressure and endorsing merit as the governing norm. He signed landmark regulatory measures such as the Interstate Commerce Act, while refusing to chase popularity through giveaways. The book also engages candidly with complexities and shortcomings, including policies like the Dawes Act era that, under a reform banner, harmed Native communities by undermining tribal sovereignty. Across triumphs and blind spots, Cleveland's method remains consistent in Senek's telling. Measure proposals against constitutional principle, fiscal prudence, and equal treatment, even when political reward is uncertain. Thirdly, Panic of 1893, tariff wars, and the fight for sound money, Senek's most gripping chapters cover the economic storm that defined Cleveland's second term. The Panic of 1893 battered employment, credit, and federal gold reserves, forcing choices that split the Democratic Party. Cleveland championed sound money and pushed to repeal silver purchase mandates that, he believed, endangered financial stability. He then arranged bond sales with private financiers to protect the nation's gold reserve, a move that stabilized markets but invited charges of elitism and provoked populist revolt. On tariffs, he argued that high duties enriched special interests at the expense of consumers, making tariff reform a moral and economic crusade. Yet legislative compromise produced a watered-down measure that satisfied few. Senek shows how these decisions, though politically costly, reflected a coherent view of national credit, honest taxation, and broad prosperity. Rather than chase expedient fixes, Cleveland accepted damage to his popularity to avert deeper crisis, leaving a legacy of executive seriousness during one of the era's most punishing downturns. Fourthly, labor unrest, law, and the limits of federal power. The book confronts Cleveland's most controversial domestic test, the Pullman Strike of 1894. With rail traffic halted and mail delivery threatened, his administration obtained federal injunctions and deployed troops to restore order. Senek situates this decision within Cleveland's view of the presidency as defender of interstate commerce and federal law, not arbiter of industrial disputes. The action alienated labor and many within his party, who saw federal force as heavy-handed. Senek does not dismiss the human cost of the strike. Rather, he weaves in the social pressures and the legal precedents that shaped the administration's calculus. Paired with Cleveland's frequent vetoes of private pension and relief bills, the episode illuminates his conviction that fairness requires rules, not favoritism, and that long-term protections for workers and consumers must be grounded in law. The portrait is complex. A leader skeptical of governmental overreach, who nevertheless used federal authority when he judged public order and national obligations to be at stake. Lastly, foreign policy restraint and the bounds of American power, Senek presents Cleveland as a cautious realist in foreign affairs. He withdrew a treaty for the annexation of Hawaii after an inquiry suggested the overthrow of the Hawaiian monarchy had been abetted by American interests, and he pressed, unsuccessfully, for restoration of the Queen. In the Venezuela boundary dispute with Britain, however, Cleveland asserted the Monroe Doctrine with unusual vigor, pressing for arbitration and ultimately securing a peaceful settlement that elevated American standing without resort to war. Throughout, Senek highlights a consistent posture: avoid entanglements driven by commercial enthusiasm or imperial fashion, but defend core principles of hemispheric stability and lawful process. Cleveland modernized the Navy and kept a watchful eye on global currents while resisting the rush to empire that would crest in the next administration. The result is a foreign policy record that prizes legitimacy and restraint, offering a counterpoint to narratives that equate strength solely with expansion or intervention. In conclusion, A Man of Iron is for readers who value biography that tests character against events. Students of American history, leaders in business or public service, and anyone curious about how principle can navigate turbulence. Senek delivers more than a survey of dates and decisions. He reconstructs the inner compass that guided Cleveland through bitter fights over money, labor, tariffs, and foreign policy. The benefit is practical as well as historical. You see how to balance empathy with standards, steadiness with urgency, and constitutional limits with the need to act in a crisis. Choose this book over generic presidential overviews because it blends archival depth with narrative clarity, avoids caricature, and confronts hard cases without partisan varnish. Senek restores a consequential figure to the center of the American story and offers lessons in courage, restraint, and public trust that travel beyond the Gilded Age into the challenges of modern life. If you would like to support Troy Senek, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.
1 minute can open your eyes. 1 book can open your world. Knowledge gives you power.